Okay. Thank you, Lord, for a great time tonight. We just ask and we pray, Father, for your mercy upon us tonight, your grace upon us tonight, Lord, and your anointing upon us as well. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for an open heaven tonight. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against any kind of communications problems, and I command them out. I bind you up and get you out of here right now in the name of Jesus. We will not have any problems tonight with anybody's communication into this fellowship. We have an open mic to everybody here in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that we also have an open heaven from you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Yeah, look at that, David. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just ask that you break open the seals from your word tonight, Lord. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And let us understand heavenly things tonight, Lord. Open our eyes to behold the wondrous things out of your word. Let us know and understand the mysteries of your kingdom tonight, Father. We praise you and we glorify you, Father, for all that you're going to accomplish in each one of us tonight, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit direction, leading. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See waiting room. What do I want to see that for? Okay, let Claire and Rion in. Okay. Who's got a prayer request? Okay, it's going to be a quick night. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, I do. I have a friend.
Okay, next time, Julie. I guess Judy's going to go ahead and go. Go ahead, Judy.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, girl.
Thank you. Okay, I got a friend. His name's Tammy.
Praise God. She's got a friend. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, she's a dear friend, and she's a sweet person, and she believes, and when I talk to her, she doesn't have internet, she doesn't have a cell phone that has anything on it, she knows nothing about nothing, only what she hears on the, on the internet, what she hears from me, but she wants to know.
Jim, just remember, you're recorded. It's going to be where the whole world can hear you talk about this girl.
Well, she won't be able to hear. She'll get on the internet. Well, anyhow, I talked to her about getting filled with the Holy Spirit and the speaking of tongues, and she would really like to have that. And I suggested about her talking to you, but she can't because her husband is always around, and she said that wouldn't work at all. And her family is not on board of anything. But anyhow,
she can do it herself.
Huh?
She can do it herself.
I know. I told her, and I've been praying with her, but you know, we're just, you know, we'll keep praying. And I just want to pray for her that she does receive the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. Amen. Her name is Tammy. Would you like to pray for her?
You say Tammy?
Tammy, yeah. T-A-M-M-Y, Tammy.
Okay. Yeah, we'll pray for her. Father, we just lift up Tammy to you, Lord. You said all we had to do was ask.
Yes.
And you would give it to us, Lord. And I'm, you know how she, what her circumstances are. We thank you, Lord, that the next time she asks, you're going to fill her completely with your Holy Spirit, with the great heavenly language that you give us, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Tammy. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that she's just going to sit there and speak in tongues for hours. Father, amen. And I praise you for that from your precious Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Tammy. Because I believe, Lord, that when she asks, you're going to give it to her because she wants it and she needs it. in her prayer time and in her walk with you, Lord. And I praise you for doing that for Tammy. In Jesus' name. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Should we pray in tongues about that?
Well, if you like, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Lord, I just ask that you pray through us for Tammy. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the victory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for the victory for Tammy. In Jesus' name. Next time Judy talks to her, she's going to be just a wailing away. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. I believe it. Don't be beating them kids, Claire. Do you have something you want to share? Okay, go ahead, Judy.
Sorry, I didn't know I wasn't muted.
Yeah, we hear everything. Go ahead, Judy.
Can you all hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. I would like you all to agree with me for a brother that the Lord's brought across my path here in the last month or so. His name is Jonathan, and he really loves the Lord, and he's on fire for Jesus, and he has some of the gifts of the Spirit, and I've been able to share with him. I gave him a copy of every book that I have from UBM, and he's currently reading the Predestined, Called, and Elect book. And anyhow, we've been able to talk a little bit here and there. And he just shared with me today that, he has trouble. I think he's just got a lot of distractions. So if you'd all disagree with me, so I pray. Heavenly Father, I lift up Jonathan to you, and I thank you for him. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit that you've given him and the heart you've given him, the desire for the truth and what you've brought him through in the last 10 years or more, Lord, and things he's had to learn to trust you in some very hard places. And you brought him up out of the Mary Bog, and you've provided for him, and you've shown yourself strong. And I come against the enemy who would distract him from making time to be in your word. And Lord, we talked a little bit about, I just gave him David's testimony years ago about just asking God to wake you up an hour before your alarm goes off, or when you have to get up to go to work or whatever, so you can have that extra time. And I shared that with him, and he received it, Lord. So I'm trusting you, Lord, that you're going to do that. You're going to wake him up in the morning early so he can spend some time with you before he has to start his day with family and with work and other things. And I just pray against the enemy distracting him from drawn near to you, and I pray that you quicken him, Lord, and he just sit at your table and feast on your word, feast on all the materials, and that you would give him direction, give him discernment, give him understanding on where to go, what to read next, what to listen to on the site, and that you would guide him in all these things, Father. And I pray for him and his family, Lord, that you would shield him and protect him in the days to come, that he would be a light where he is, and his family, those who are unsaved, and the people that he works with, and that you would give him the grace, Father, every day just to be your witness and just to let Jesus shine forth from him, Lord, and that he doesn't have to prove himself, and he doesn't have to do anything that's not of your spirit, that he would be led. And I pray that you would just give him all grace, Father, to be everything you've called him to be, and that he doesn't have to strive to try to fix himself, Lord. And I just pray that whatever I spoke to him today, that he could receive, Lord, that was of you, that it would resonate in his heart, that you would give him peace and comfort about things he's dealing with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, bless that boy. Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
Hey, in case anybody doesn't recognize, this is Tiambi. She's on here all the time. She's over here downloading a, she's on the website all the time. Anyway, she's over here downloading some updates on her computer. So she said, hey, can I stay and get on a conference call? Sure. So.
Absolutely.
I probably don't recognize her because she's got green hair tonight. So,
but some of these people I've never even seen before. Yes. God bless you all.
Oh, Todd.
It's a green thing.
Green thing. Okay, green. All right. All right, anybody else? How about a praise report or a testimony? Yeah, go ahead, Lana or Theo.
We have a praise report. Theo's dad became sick as soon as mom recovered. And I think we've shared that. But we went over to see dad yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some fellowship, talked about, you know, the power of God and healing and the real gospel, and just shared testimonies of miracles that he and mom had in the past. And then we offered to pray for dad, and he agreed. And so we were able to pray for him, and we explained that we've learned to pray a new way. And so they were gracious to allow Theo and I to pray in Russian and in English. And then, you know, mom was so filled with faith. She made him a smoothie and made him eat, and he was agreeable because he can be a little stubborn sometimes when he's sick. And so today Theo called him, and he is doing much better. He's eating, but he's just lacking a lot of strength. So we'd just ask that you guys believe with us that the Lord is going to restore him to full strength, and also that he gives us faith that he will be completely healed, because the family's had numerous dreams indicating that dad's just going to eventually die from all that he's suffering through with the kidney transplants and the medications and the diabetes. But I was sharing with mom the other day that we don't have to accept that's not part of the covenant. And so I personally need a lot of faith, because there's a lot of walking by sight going on with dad being so sick and the entire family believing it. So we also ask that the Lord fill us up with a lot of faith that dad doesn't have to go that route, and he'll live through everything and get to see a lot of wonderful things.
Okay. Yes, we will. We'll believe with you. Amen. Just a moment here. Okay. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for Lana's dad. Thank you, Father. He's healed. He is healed. She prayed the prayer of faith for him, and we know that it goes straight up to you. And we thank you, Father, that her dad is healed, delivered, and set free, and he'll start believing for himself because of it, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Hey, would you guys pray with me? This download is taking forever. We started about 5 o'clock, and it's taking forever. Anyway, Lord, we ask that you'd speed up this download. This is it hung up at 80 for probably an hour, 80%, and then it's crazy, but Lord, you can make it faster, which is what we would like to happen. And we believe that you're going to do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Get done there. Get done. Get done. Get done.
I was going to pray for one of Tracy's friends. She had an accident with a bike this past week, and she was hurt pretty badly. I think she fell and hit her head on a curb, and she also has some ribs that are, I don't know whether they're broken, but she has a lot of pain in her ribs, and basically her whole body got scraped up, so I'd like to pray for her. Father, I just thank you for your love for Julie, and I thank you that she does know you, and she is a believer, and we just command her body to be healed and restored and good as new.
Amen.
We just thank you for that gift of faith that you've given her to stand on your word, to know that it's true, that Jesus already took care of it at the cross. Amen. And we just thank you and praise you for her healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you. Lana said, also wanted to mention that Dad's fever is completely gone. Praise God. Yep. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what God wants us to do. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got anything they want to talk about before we get into this thing that Julie wanted us to look at tonight and go over? I keep getting. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Well, I would like to talk about Woody Woodpecker on your end of the line there. Never mind. I take it back. A scripture popped into my mind for Judy. Judy, what was your friend's name that was talking about receiving the Holy Spirit?
Tammy. T-A-M-M-Y. Tammy.
Why does Tammy want to receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, because I've been telling her that we really need that in this end times, and she wants to get closer to God, so I said, this is what you really need. He'll help you, guide you, and tell you what things to do. So she just wants to go along with that.
Amen. I was thinking about the scripture that, matter of fact, I'll flip over to it. It was in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it talks, the Lord gives the example there in verse 11. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." And one of the things that I don't know if I'm struggling over or wanted to understand a little bit more about, and that was the Lord kind of took me through an explanation, and that explanation was kind of based upon, if I have something in my heart that I want to share with you, my only avenue of sharing that is to try to formulate thoughts and convey those thoughts through words, And hopefully those words describe, that you define in your mind as I'm speaking those words, you formulate a picture, and that picture hopefully is the same thought or concept that I was trying to convey. And that's the only avenue we have, unless I was able to take my spirit inside me and implant it into your mind or into your heart so that you could see with the same perception that I have about that thought, and you could perceive it based upon receiving my spirit within you. And obviously, we don't have, as people born of the earth, born of this planet, don't come with the package of being aware of God. And the only thing that we have is his word. Those words being defined create certain pictures with us. And I gave an example a few days ago or whatever about the two flavors of Christianity, the charismatic side of Christianity, the spirit-filled side of Christianity, I'm going to say apostate Christianity, and the word-only side of Christianity. And one is like, one is concentrating on building tracks by trying to understand God's word through an earthly perspective, because they haven't received the Holy Spirit, and they gather certain bits of information in the Word of God and try to comprise a picture of God. And the other side, the spirit-filled apostate side of Christianity today, they've received the Spirit, but they flutter around through the spirit environment without having a foundation, a strong foundation of the written Word of God, by which that Holy Spirit guides us down the tracks to a certain destination. But what God has given us is he has given us his spirit, so that when we receive his spirit, like Michael is saying, we receive his spirit, and he gives us the evidence of speaking in tongues or prophecy, or enlivens those gifts within us. Because we have received the Spirit of God, we have a new perspective, a heavenly perspective, to view those thoughts on the pages of that scripture. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit is able to guide us out of the deception that we were born in, and bring us, guide us through that into the light of the truth. I know that's, to me, it seems like a very laborious way of saying what everybody else is just saying, by just receiving the Spirit. But for me, it seemed to hit something at home that I understood the reason for it, is that I can perceive from God's perspective what his word means, and be able to draw closer to him in that process. So anyway, I just thought I would throw that out.
Okay, just to pin it all down into three letters: ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open. That's it. Okay. All right, Missy would like prayer, and I want everybody to let's just pray in tongues for Lord. You know what's needed. I'm asking you to pray through us for the needs in Missy's family right there, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. No, 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 my car, see to look at a sore man, there is see to look at a sore man, that I've a cockman, that I see. Lay the coro sore man, the lakiti and the little bushata. Madly see to look here a sore macata para mushande. Then set the lakiti see at the little bushata. No, 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 shine, the caraburiman, the lakiti see and the little bushata. Malakiti saw the little bushata. Poro bushata lakiri, but the kiri. I break down the walls of communication in that household right now in the name of Jesus. I command every divisive spirit out. I command every tormenting spirit to go in the name of Jesus. Religious spirits go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
How many of you think Missy's got the victory? She's got the victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for peace. In Jesus' name.
Peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your peace, your joy, and your rest.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You believe that, Missy?
Thank you.
You believe that?
Yes.
You got the victory, girl. Amen. I command this oppressive spirit off of her right now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Father, for placing joy, peace, and rest in her heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You better grin. I ain't playing. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I wanna pray something specifically here. Father, I ask you to just make this all go away. And that we won't even have to make a decision in Jesus' name. That you'll just totally take care of it and we won't have to make a decision.
Amen. I believe it with her.
Amen. Thank you.
Take this problem away, Lord. You're good at that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Dissipate in thin air. Just go.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. All right, Missy, it's done, girl. Now don't worry about it. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
Hey, I think that verse in 1 Corinthians that Pat was just quoting has a lot to do with 2 Peter chapter 1. 2, 3, and 4, where it says, grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, and Jesus our Lord, seeing his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And this would be the Holy Spirit revealing the thoughts of God to us. That's the way he grants this power to us. Pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. So by His Holy Spirit, He reveals the things of God to us that helps us to gain this divine nature of God. So that's just my opinion. I think those two go hand in hand and are complementary to each other.
Amen. Thank you, Leah. All right. You got something else, Leah?
No.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Okay. Judy sent me a text today, and I sent it out to everybody, my meaning email. And she wanted us to go over Luke 22, 36. Is that right? Yeah, 36. So I'm going to read 35 through 38 for context. Listen carefully. And he said unto them, when I sent you forth without purse and wallet and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. And he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. And then 37, for I say unto you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he quotes it, and he was reckoned with transgressors. For that which concerneth me hath fulfillment. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it's enough. Now she wanted us to go over that and figure out the meaning there. What's the Lord talking about here in 36? But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. And I'm just going to open it up. Anybody that wants to give me the answer? Yep, one at a time, not everybody at the same time. Now, come on. Yeah, Julie.
I don't have the answer. part of the reason I've been meditating on that scripture is I came across somebody who had been given a dream or something, and was basically saying in this dream that the Lord was telling him to go buy guns. Not necessarily to use them against somebody, but to have them as like a show of it. And where we are with current circumstances and places we're coming into or greater lawlessness, I just thought it was really important that we really know how to speak to people about those scriptures, because this particular person was using this scripture as God saying, you know, Jesus said, go get a sword, you know? And so there's spiritual meaning in all this. So I just thought it would be good to discuss.
Man, yeah, it is. It's a good subject for the times we're in right now. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Will.
You know, before Julie said, I was wondering, sure, last time she wanted to discuss the once saved, always saved verse, and this time she wanted to discuss that verse. I was thinking, see, Judy, are you dealing with people that's trying to escape the word? So, I was dead on in my thoughts. So I was thinking she's dealing with people that wants to escape what the word is actually saying. And I just wanted to say, I used to be once saved, always saved for some time. The word is dangerous, you know. some of the verses are tricky. Yeah, very tricky. You can easily misinterpret them and get in such a huge amount of trouble. Especially that verse is tricky, tricky. You can misinterpret it so easily, and then you will pay the penalty for wanting it, wanting flesh in it. You want to put flesh in there, you are going to get a spanking. So I pray for that person that Julie is dealing with to just get a new respect and fear for the Lord. He's to be feared.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, you know, Paul was talking about a suit of armor and a sword. And, you know, I call it for myself the 6-12 scenario of events. Because that 12 is two more sixes. And you get three sixes out of that. So that 6-12 scenario of events is when a person thinks that he has to fight against the flesh.
You froze up. You froze up, Andrew. Canada's under attack. Come out from there in the name of Jesus. Okay, he came up with a good verse. I like that verse. It says, for our struggle is not against human opponents, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in the... What version have I got? Hang on just a second. We get the ASV here. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's a good one. All right, there's one again, grabbing a gun. Go ahead, Lon. Oh, there he is. There you are, Andrew.
Spiritual bullets that act as the sword that you're using as a person who would have a shield today. You see them in the streets nowadays. They're police officers. They've got helmets on. They've got the Velcro breastplate. They got guns. They don't carry swords. And they got these nice-looking boots, too. But if he was comparing it to someone today, that's what he would use. And this is what you have to tell him, along with that verse there. In 6:12, and you know, some of the way the pastors speak, you know, when they're really encouraging you, you can feel each cut of the flesh coming off of your heart, because that sword of the spirit is being used on you, and it's almost like a military weapon, like a P90. I don't know if these guys know what that is. It's a top loading machine gun. I don't know too much about guns, but you know, it's a quick ammo, 50 rounds, and it'll empty in less than 10 seconds. So you're getting that many swords into this guy with a spiritual gun. Not a real gun, but a spirit-filled gun. A gun of the spirit, because that's what we have now instead of a sword. And that's how I would bring it up to him. Paul's using an example here. He's using a parable comparing this guy and his armor. And we could do the same, but this is going to be all spiritual weapons, the spiritual armor. You know, they don't make the armor anymore out of metal, you know, even though I seen a mom dress up her kids with cardboard helmets and breastplates and gave them a sword. And you know, every parent does that. You know, I remember buying the poster for my son. It was on his closet door there with the big sword and the guy there with his helmet on and everything. And I don't know. some of these moms, I think they forget about their real children. You know, they're not dolls. You can't dress them up that way, but you can play that way if you want to. It's always fun, you know. You can only do it once when they're young. Anyway, it's good lessons, you know. You can always even throw in other lessons, you know, like how do you multiply 1,000 by 7 and find the verse in 2 Peter 3 and 8, and they might come to a conclusion. Anyway, that's good math.
Okay. Go ahead, Lana.
So I actually recall David having a teaching on this in How Shall We Die? The Sword of Transgression. And I had a little bit of a hard time understanding it. And then I reread it, and I think I do understand. And verse 37 says, "For I say unto you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was reckoned with transgressors." I think that's from Isaiah. And so the question is, who are the transgressors? And it says, and David goes on to say here, it's the people who are with the sores, the people who provide their own way are the transgressors. And Isaiah must be fulfilled that Jesus was amongst them. And that's why he goes on to tell them, go ahead and get your swords. If I understand correctly, that's how it goes, even though I don't, it's kind of hard for me to comprehend Jesus just telling them, hey, go do what I don't want you to do. So that's where my question lies.
Well, go ahead, Dave. I'm going to let y'all answer because she's on the right track.
If you read this thoroughly, if it starts at 35, and Jesus was letting them know they didn't need any money. They didn't need a knapsack. They needed sandals. Did you lack anything? When we went out, were you lacking anything? They said nothing. And then he turns around. Now he's going to be contrary to everything he just said. Everything that he just did for the example, he says, now we're going to, this is changing. And he says, now you're going to have a money bag. Now you're going to go and take the extra, whatever you need to take with you extra. Then go buy a sword too. Go do all this that for some reason is contrary to me. And he says, now this is a scripture that's going to be fulfilled in me. This is another Jesus. He's talking about another Jesus being fulfilled here now, because he just showed you who he was. They just walked through Christ, and now he says this is all changed. And he says this is a fulfilled scripture, because this is going to fulfill what people say is about me, and they're going to be numbered with the I'm going to be numbered with the transgressors. This is a totally different Jesus I'm going to be fulfilled with now. They're going to look at me, and they're going to make me into something I'm not. And then they said, well, Lord, look, we got two swords. He said, that's enough. There you go. You got another Jesus. You got another gospel. You just walked away from everything I just fulfilled, and you're making something different from what I am. That's all it takes. He's just saying, you can walk outside everything I just did for you and showed you, that's the miracles of God, and walk in your own flesh, and you have another Jesus, another gospel.
Amen. Okay, let's see. Will, I think, was next. Let me get Will, and I'll get y'all.
Just wanted to add, I think that that whole verse, or the second verse after that, defends, protects itself. But in most cases, I think people need to learn. And I remember Dirk giving me this scripture a few years ago. The sum of thy word is truth. People need to learn not to run with one verse. They need to find the sum of the word on a specific topic, and then make a form opinion. That we all, and when I was younger in the Lord, we all tend to do that, and that is a fatal, fatal error sometimes. I just want to pray for the person Julie is dealing with. Lord, we pray for him. I know it's desperate times on this earth. I just want to pray for him, Lord, that you will, if he's yours, if he's your child, Lord, that you will enlighten him about the seriousness of your word and going to the cross, dying to self, Lord, that he will learn that he must be crucified and that he's here to lose his life, to gain his life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You got to have at least two witnesses, don't you? Two or more. Julie. Go ahead, Julie. I'll get you in a minute, Leah. Sorry.
A note that I had here, I wrote in my margin, must have been from one of the teachings, was from John 18:36. Which says, it's talking about Jesus is before Pilate, starting in 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, that I may not be handed over to the Jews, but my kingship is not from this world." And even in context with that chapter in Luke 22, they had just taken, just had Passover, and he just, you know, shared with them that he was, you know, he had earnestly desired to have this Passover with them before he suffered. And talking about the kingdom of God, and here they are, you know, next arguing over who is the greatest amongst them. And, you know, he was teaching them about being servants and all that. And I guess, you know, the timing of that was, here we are preparing for a Passover, because all these judgments are kind of in, you know, the death and resurrection of the man-child. So I just thought, you know, the timing of that and what's happening is just very relative to what's going on in the spirit realm. And people just do not want to go to their crosses, and they're trying to justify the scriptures and interpret them the way they want so that they can do what they want. And I understand, you know, people do, you know, if they don't have the faith to just trust God, that they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to go out and do something to arm themselves, to protect themselves, so they feel like they've done something. And it's, you know, you can twist the scriptures if you have an idol, or if you have fear, or you have doubt, and you're going to do that. So I think that's where this guy was coming from.
Is that, let me ask you, June, is he a patriot? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I don't believe I don't know what country he's in. I think it was Sweden or somewhere. Okay. Yeah, but he'd gotten this dream. And that was the interpretation that he had gotten. So I don't think he's a patriot, but he might be over there. I don't know. But there's a lot of that too. That you know, people are trying to twist the scriptures to make it line up with what they think. I mean, he's given a dream. It's, you know, if that's what he was believing. I just, you know, I just was seeing this everywhere, that, you know, people are going to try to justify and defend themselves and get arms and with the defunding of the military, or defunding of the police, and that kind of thing, that people feel like this is what they need to do. And we know these judgments are coming. But, you know, our weapons are mighty before God. They're not against flesh and blood. That's for 2 Corinthians 10:4. We have to war in the spirit. And you know, that's kind of all I want to add to that. And William, thank you for your prayers for that guy. Yeah, I hope the Lord gives him light in that too, about those things. Thanks.
Amen. Okay, Liam.
Well, I think Dave had a good analogy there, but I want to add a little bit to it. It says in 37 here, verse 37 of Luke 22, it says, For I say unto you, that which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with the transgressors. That's the part that has to be fulfilled. For that which concerneth me hath fulfillment. Now, what he's saying here is that his disciples are taking the place of the transgressors. He'll be crucified, and there'll be transgressors there as well. But his disciples are going to be the transgressors right now. And if you remember, Peter, because he had that sword, Peter cut that Malchus's ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly thereafter. So he was in fact a transgressor. And if the guards weren't so focused on Jesus, they would have arrested Peter as a transgressor too. But they fulfill the things that are written about Jesus, and that's what he's talking about there. You guys are going to fulfill this. You got to get a sword. Well, why do we need a sword? Well, you'll see. So they didn't need two of them. They just needed one so that Peter could cut that guy's ear off. And he becomes a transgressor then. So I believe that has a lot to do with it. And it's the stuff that Jesus has to fulfill. Because the scripture says it. That's it.
Amen. Okay, Missy, I'll get to you in a minute, Pat.
Well, I was sitting here reading this, and it says, when I sent you forth without money bag and knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? And they said nothing. So the Lord was saying, I sent you out with nothing, but I provided for you. That's what he was saying. Okay. And then, and he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. So he's saying, those who supply have their own supply, do everything in their own power and their own strength, and have their own supply, and don't trust in the Lord, is what he's talking about here. You have your own money. You know, it's like it's they're self-sufficient, I guess, is the best way to put it. For I say to you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was reckoned with transgressors, for that which concerns me has fulfillment. He was considered a transgressor, but he wasn't. And I look at this being transgressors as the two people, the two men that he were crucified with him. They're on each side of him. That's what I look at the transgressors being. I may be wrong, but that's what I get out of it. And then when they say, Lord, behold, here are two swords, he said to them, it is enough. Well, two swords are going to get you in trouble. It's enough to make you a transgressor. It's enough. You know, that's how I take all that.
What's a transgressor?
Someone that breaks the law.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's good.
So that's my take on it.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. That's another one. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking, number one, all of these thoughts are good, and they all seem to tie together. And I think what I was, the Lord has had me on this second time thought or concept for the last couple months. And when this scripture came up, it reminded me of when Jesus started his ministry, and he, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit and came down from the mountain, I think I don't know if it was the first thing he did or second thing. I think maybe it was the first thing he did. He went into the synagogue, and he took up the scripture, Isaiah, to read, I guess, as was the custom or whatever. And if you remember, he read the first part of that scripture, and he cut it short. He said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stopped. And if you go to the scripture in Isaiah that comes from Isaiah 61, verse 1, verse 2, picks up where he left off. It says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and this is what Jesus left off, and proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. And in that proclaiming of vengeance, also evidently in that process, it is to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Even the scripture or the dream that David spoke about in the last meeting, glory to God. And they shall build the old waste places. They. He's talking, not talking about he, he's talking about they. They shall build the old waste places, they will restore. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen, vine dressers, etc. I don't want to read the whole thing. I do want to read it, but I won't. So that is the part that Jesus left out. The day of vengeance of our God, which produces all of these things. And I guess I was thinking of, in terms of, what does the Lord do with us when we are born again? We're born again. We receive the Holy Spirit. He leads us into the wilderness. We go and praise and find that the illusions are starting to be removed in our mind as we start to battle up against the things without, and also the things that are within. And the Holy Spirit starts showing us these things, and the Lord gives us those scriptures that are, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. First, you take the first route. And once that inner man, once he has done his complete work, that complete perfecting work within you, then he lifts you up in his resurrection life in due time. And there's kind of a two thing scenario there. There's the first process of entering into death to self, and then through that death to self, entering into the life, resurrected life of Jesus within us. And so I was taken back over then to Hebrews 9:28, and this is, I have to say that this is kind of ripping the scripture out of context, so you can slap me around if next time you see me, but just listen to the words. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And there is that second time, that perfection of those that are looking, those that are sanctified, looking, that Jesus will fill us with his Spirit in that time, in those later times, in these later times. And for those that are looking for Jesus to be manifested, he will come the second time, but that sin will be dead. It will be put away. It will be gone. Now he is coming in a little bit different fashion within us. And I'm taken back to that scripture in Matthew 11 and 12, when he says, from the days of John the Baptist, even till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And so I believe it goes in the context of what we were saying before about the Holy Spirit, that if those that are reading these words that Jesus is speaking here about taking up the sword and not taking up the sword and these things, if we're not seeing them through the eyes of a dead man and of a live Jesus within us, filled by his Spirit, we're going to perceive that taking up of that sword means physically taking up a sword and whacking an ear off, as opposed to taking up the sword of the Spirit and removing the motivating factors that guide and lead or force those people that are opposing us. So anyway, that's just the way I was seeing that whole process.
Okay, go ahead, Claire.
I really like that, Pat, and I've really learned so much from this discussion already. It was so interesting this morning. I don't often do this, but I opened my Bible at the same time I clicked on my email, and I got Michael's email, and then I looked in my Bible, and I was open on Luke 6. So I want to read what I read this morning, because I think it does have some gravity. He says, but I say unto you that hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. To him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And from him that taketh away thy cloak, withhold not thy cloak also. Give to everyone that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And if ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? For even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive again as much. But love your enemies and do them good and lend, never despairing, and your reward will be great. And ye shall be sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be ye merciful as your Father is merciful. And we can't come against anyone with anything but that. That's the power there. That's the sword. So it just, and then I asked the Lord, I said to him, well, tell me more about this verse from Isaiah 53. And I read the full verse, and it says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. So he was numbered with them. He was seen as one of them. Yet he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So we are there to intercede, like we have been, for this little soul in Sweden and many others who just really need to understand the fullness. And if I look at Isaiah 53, I know a lot of the Jews call that the forbidden chapter, because it's so clearly they are playing a game where somebody is in fact a soldier, and they probably have got some kind of sword with a spirit. I am that mom. But anyway, but that is a forbidden chapter because it reveals Christ so perfectly. It cannot be denied. But then if you go on and you read Isaiah 54, that is a prophecy of the man-child and the bride. And it follows on. It follows on so beautifully. And in that, in Isaiah 54, we read in verse 4, he says, fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the name of thy youth, and the reproach of thy widowhood shall thou remember no more. And then in verse 9, he says, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee or rebuke thee. And then verses 13 to 17, he says, and all thy children shall be taught of Jehovah, and great shall be the peace of my children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror. For it shall not come near thee. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, which is of me, says the Lord. It's so beautiful. And I know that those specific verses get pulled out of context, and a lot of prosperity gets preached into that. But if we just look at those verses, how they follow on, and that the Lord is inviting people to go look at the scrolls of Isaiah, then we can't deny that it is definitely not flesh and blood. It is only powers and principalities. It's so beautiful.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. Go ahead, Judy. And then I'll get Joe, and then I'll get Theo. Or Missy or somebody. I don't know.
Michael, I'm just really enjoying this. I remember reading that that prophecy or dream or whatever that brother had, and I remember him saying about the guns. And when I heard that, I just felt like this is of a different spirit. This is so I can't receive. I felt like I couldn't receive this dream. I couldn't see it, you know, whether was this from the Lord or not, because it didn't fit with what he was saying, you know, about the guns and stuff. And you know, and I really appreciate the brother that mentioned about David. When David mentioned this is a different Christ, and it is totally a different Christ, because he came. What I got out of this is, and what I always seem to come back to is back to Genesis 1:26, where God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and that we would have dominion over all the earth. We have to be like Christ. We have to have Christ. We have to let Christ rule in our lives, not the old man. And it's like in that, even in that section there that was read, he was saying, you can operate in the old man if you want, you know, but that's not his will. That's not his way. He wants the old man out to be void, to not operate at all. But you know, it goes along with that scripture has to be fulfilled. And so it's like, it's the old man has to die. That old man is not, and so it is a different Christ, because we're following the old man if we're using the sword. But to follow Jesus is to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, you know, that's what, basically, that's what I was seeing from all these scriptures brought forth. And I was following along because Lord was drawing me to read Isaiah 53. He was drawing me to read the one about the sword, you know, with Peter cutting the ear off. And as you guys were all talking about it, I was like, wow, this is really neat. So, oh, and I also would like to pray for I'm not going to say his name. I'll pray for this brother that doesn't recognize the Christ, the real Christ. And all the other ones that listen to that prop, that dream. Lord, I pray for all the other people that listen to the dream, this dream. I pray they don't receive of your of another Jesus, another spirit, but they would have a check in their spirit to recognize that there's something wrong here, that they would not receive what this one says, because it's not of your spirit, Lord. So I pray that you put a guard on the hearts of many people that see this, that would read this dream and even listen to this one speaking about guns and supplying people need to be supplied with guns, that they would not receive this, Father. Help them to see by your spirit that this is not of you. This is not your way of doing things. I thank you, Father, that you're going to deliver them from that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Go ahead, Fia, Joe.
Well, I want to say, I was thinking about it. Maybe I'm completely wrong of this, but I started verse 35. He said unto them, I said you for, without purse, wallet, and shoes. When I sent you as Jesus sent them, he sent them two by two. And if God sent you, you supply everything. You don't need your self-works. Then 36, I would put it in two different parts. He said unto them, but he would have a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. In other words, that if you got something of yourself, that self works. But when he said, when you have none, let him sell his cloak, that's his garment. I would say that's his old self-life, and buy a sword, buy a new life, I'm born again. I would say like that. And then he said that verse 38, Lord, behold, there are two swords. I would say that two swords is two witnesses. That's when the Lord said to him, it's enough. I think it is just Matthew 18:16 says that, but if he had been not, take me one or two more, but I will have a mouth of two witnesses or three, every word be established. So maybe I'm completely wrong, but I'm a different way about it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's good. All right, Missy, let me get Missy Fee on and I'll get you. I think she had her hand up for. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
I just wanted to give a little testimony. When about a decade ago, I ran into a new boss that was teaching me that the Lord provides us with education and with the means of protecting ourselves and the knowledge of certain medicines and all this. And this is the Lord's gift, and we're supposed to utilize this, including the means of protection. And you know, and that was a helping factor. I did obtain a CCW and a really large firearm that I could conceal, and as soon as I strapped it on, the Lord's protection was gone. And and I was overcome anywhere I went with a fear that I hadn't had before when I wasn't carrying a firearm. It was just, you're constantly in fear. You're constantly looking around like, do I got to pull this thing out and start slinging lead, or, you know what I mean? But that's what happens when you put your protection in your own hands. The Lord goes away. He just backs off and says, you got this. You're good. You don't need me. And a few years of that, you know, and I've repented, you know, and a lot of my friends have not, and they're just getting deeper into this, you know, and it's a trap is what it is. The physical sword is a trap. The Lord, you know, is just going to back off. That's all that's going to happen. Yeah. So if anybody's listening that wants to carry for protection, it's I've experienced
it's against it. God's word.
It's against God's word completely. Amen. Yep.
Revelation 13 and 10. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there was a prayer I said a couple of meetings ago. It had to do with judging. And it's a real serious item. You know, in the Revelation, in the book of Ephesus, the first church in Revelation, which you probably should read before you're going to start a study in Ephesus, and all those seven cities were in Galatia, but it says there that he tried the people who and found them fake apostles. Okay, so how does a Christian try someone? How does someone get judged by a Christian? Does he use the law? We know that's not right. And everybody wants grace from God. I made a prayer there that people have to judge by grace. If you're going to judge any man, it has to be by grace. You know, because of his fullness, we all received, that's the past tense, the grace upon grace. And it's a process of progress. If you use yourself, your law, your gun to make your own law, and it's not grace, you're in trouble. You know, John 1:16 is that grace verse. If you don't judge someone by faith, there's Romans 1:16 and 17 there. You know that you know these verses. For we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For herein is being revealed the righteousness from God. From faith to faith. You got to give that other person a judgment of faith, a judgment of grace that saved you through faith. If you don't give them grace, why should God give you grace? This is a dangerous thing, to slander someone and to hate someone. If you don't judge by love, if you don't judge by glory, we know the verse. It's been quoted so many times with the mirror. But we all with an unveiled face behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Who do we see in there by faith? If we don't judge by the glory of God, which is the faith and the grace, the spirit of grace, the word of God, you're giving him grace all the time, which is really hard to do when you got to use your cross because they're insulting you. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He had love. a high attribute of love is forgiveness. I have it over there on my lamp, Luke 23, I think it's 34. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You see, he was judging them by grace, by love. Love has to be progressive. If it's faith that worketh love, and the seal of your faith is that love, and that love has to be progressive. You can only judge someone with love, and he even told you, and it was readier to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God first, the two famous commandments Jesus always was quoted, and you got to love your enemies. So who can you not love? But even more so, you know, you got to judge them with mercy. You got to judge them with pity. I made this prayer, and I had a wonderful revelation the next day where it actually made me shout and get excited early in the morning. The Lord reminded me of Matthew 5 and 17. This was a real good one. And Matthew 5 and 17 is there as Jesus is saying, think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. You know how you have to judge? As a fulfiller. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are going to be the fulfiller that overflows that guy's cup. You're going to be overflowing, and it's going to fill his cup so he gets overflowed, because you must judge in accordance to the fulfillment of the law, which is grace. Grace, wonderful grace. Something that's being forgotten today is this grace. You can't go outside and not see someone who you wait lying there, and they always want to discuss politics with you. And they want you to come on their side. Here in Canada, you know, he's not even our president. You know, and they want me to slander him. And you have to settle, and you have to stop, and you have to just not say anything, because you can't say anything against that person, other, because if you bring it up, and hopefully you can bring it up as a means of forgiveness for him, because, you know, forgiveness will always be on your heels, because you got love. You know, when you approach someone with this, there's that person who's predestined to be saved, and then there's the person who's not. You run into these persons who are not. And I'm telling you, the more polite you get to be with them, the more lovely you are to them, and showing them the light of Christ, the more angry they get with you. It's like they want to strike you because you're being loving to them, and they want you to hate them. They want you to yell at them for the way they're treating you. They want you to at least criticize them. But you gotta give them grip. This is a very hard thing to do. It's because you're wired for law. You're wired for law. You're not wired for grace. And I'm telling you, you have to be wired for this Jesus, the fulfiller of this, the agape. You have to be wired in accordance to 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God. I don't see the AW on that L word there. That you keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever, what's that whatsoever? I remember the first time I read the whatsoever. Is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Judge by faith. Judge by grace. You don't show grace, you're going to pay the penalty for law. And you know what that is. Just go muster it up with regulations. Yes, but every single one of those seven cities was in that province of Galatia. And they're not denominations. They're the true first century church. And they had to learn to judge by grace, by faith, by love, by agape. And have that love in you. You know, this Spirit of God, after I got this revelation about being judged by being fulfillers, and the fulfilled one, the first fruit of this fulfillment is Jesus Christ, and so are you. I went and I looked out my window that morning, my patio door here, and I saw this bee coming up to one of my plants, and he was going to each flower. Came off that flower and was selective for the next flower. And I was watching this bee for about 5 minutes. I only have one plant out there. So he must have went to every single flower on that plant. And he even went around a whole plant and went to another flower. And the Lord's going, see my creation? That's the first thing I thought. And the Lord said, yeah, that is my creation. I made this bee for these flowers so that these flowers can produce seed. But you know what? That bee is like the Holy Spirit. It's going to each flower so each one can have the seed at harvest time. You know what you're supposed to want. You know who the chamberlain is. The Holy Spirit. You know that's all you need to have. And this is the requirement. And this, you know, Paul said things like, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not come under the power of any. Does this mean a person can't have some ice cream, you know, without feeling guilty later because he ate too much? You know, the next verse is going to describe it. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God's going to rescue you. I can't remember exactly verbatim, but God's going to rescue them both. So, I have a little, trying to master prayer, you know, is a real hard thing. And this is my little booklet on advice when you don't know what to pray. When you're lost, you don't have the power to pray. You know, you need something maybe to peruse to tell you, you know. So I've got my little note there about what I just talked about this grace, on how we must be so filled with this grace. You have the power, yes, to bring the gospel to someone. And yet, even the apostles, I know the apostles Paul, and I know the Timothy, actually feared. Are these people going to actually receive the word I'm saying today? This word has now been our word for 2,000 years approximately. They weren't receiving it from them even. back then as they were speaking to them. And there was like only a handful of people in Athens. He went to Rome. He went to Athens. And these two, you know, are those churches there where they think they are the first. And yet, those geographical regions were the church at one point in time. Paul visited both of them. But now they're denominations. Fruits of the Spirit. Factions and divisions. Along with the other 40,000. This is what we've come out of. By grace. By grace. Grace, if it wasn't a female's name, I would want that. And that's all I have to say in accordance to people who don't want to give grace and want to use weapons. Praise and glory to God. Glory to God for all that.
Amen. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. That was good, Andrew. I know what I was going to. I was just going to give a little testimony about after listening to Theo's testimony about the gun. When I was a young Christian, and the Lord was taking me through the teaching me about his word, I happened to be working in the employment. I was working as an alarm technician and a telephone technician. I used to install telephone systems and a fire alarm and smoke and burglar alarms and that sort of thing. And so because I worked in the business, I could get the equipment free, and I could wire it up free. So since I was kind of technically oriented or whatever, I thought, well, that'd be good. I can get that that alarm free. I'll just go ahead and, you know, put it in this house. It was a rental house anyway. I thought, what the heck, I'll just put it in here and I'll have an alarm. And the thought never occurred to me as far as, you know, it was really the things that Theo was saying, that he lost that grace and inherited fear and everything. That really never happened to me, but because I think I was kind of ignorant of the whole concept of God's protection or whatever in that way. So I was kind of doing it because I could get it cheap. But, you know, I was woke up, or I got woke three or four nights in a row because of this burglar alarm going off in the middle of the night and rattling me out of bed. And believe me, when you're sound asleep and all of a sudden you hear wah, 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 in dead sleep. I mean, talk about raise the dead. And so after about the third night, I realized, okay, maybe the Lord is trying to tell me something. So I ripped that sucker out. No, all I had was wires hanging out. Got rid of that thing. But I have to agree with your statement, Theo. That was I paid for it in the same way, more or less. But anyway, I repented and got rid of it.
Amen. Go ahead, Will. I get to you in a minute, Dave.
I must say, tonight again has been a wonderful evening. Wonderful interpretations of the verse and wonderful comments. So thank you, everyone. And it's I don't know if you guys remember it, there was a, I think there was sort of an international revival from 2007 to 2010. 2011, there was a film out called Machine Gun Preacher. I don't know if you know about that, Michael. No. You must Google it. Yeah, and it was very popular. It had famous actors, and it's sort of a testimony or a life story about a preacher or an evangelist or someone, a missionary. He felt led to go to an African country. And when he got there, it was so grotesque. And even I was shocked at the grotesqueness of what was going on, just the bad and violent and ugly. It was hectic about what was going on in that African country. And I don't think he was prepared for it. And when he got there, he started using a machine gun. And he got the name Machine Gun Preacher. And it was... in my spirit knew already that it was wrong, but it was so sold to the mainstream Christians or the bigger group of Christians as being the right thing to do. It was so sad. And I don't know if you remember the film, The Mission. It's an old film about a Catholic missionary who had to make the choice between arms and no arms. He was in the Amazon jungle. And that was the only film I had to run around with trying to prevent them from listening to a machine gun preacher. And I just sort of want to pray against that film. I think the Lord still needs to judge that movie and make his opinion clear as to what he feels. The Lord has to come in. It's still unfinished. It was very popular, and I watched it through family members of mine, and I just wanted to say that it's not like it's been the Lord. It doesn't feel to me that the Lord had a say in that thing yet. I don't want to speak for the Lord, but if the Lord can just maybe, I don't know why this came out of my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Defend, if I can just pray about that. Lord, I apologize if I said something wrong, but Lord, you know about that movie that came out in 2012, around about there. Lord, I just ask you to defend yourself to your people there, Lord, that you will defend your opinions and your true opinion about arms, and that you will show your people all over the world that taking up arms is wrong, and that there's a very hard penalty to pay if you do take up arms. There's a very hectic warning that if you take up arms, you will die by the sword. You fight by the sword, you will die by the sword. And that is a clear penalty and a clear judgment. And I don't know that the preacher is still in Africa. I don't know how he's doing, and if he's still running around with a machine gun, I'm not sure. Because it was like in the middle of his life. His life, it's not come to a fullness, that whole scenario. I don't know what his name is. That had not a good impact on Christians worldwide, I must say, being that it was such a high-profile movie. And another thing I want to just add is to encourage Christians, or if you've got people in your family that are into, let's say, violent games, and that you know are... maybe they're born again, but they are into fighting back, and they don't think it's wrong to take your authority over that spirits and to cast out that spirits of fighting back and that aggressive spirits. And you'll be surprised to see the results by just taking your authority over and casting out those spirits of, let's call them the fighting back spirits.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave. Thank you, Will.
I was just going to talk a little bit about my life with since Phil brought that up. That was I forgot about having a handgun at one time. You know, before I came into, I would say, knowing Jesus the way I know him now, I would have probably been said I was a Christian in my younger years, but I was very carnal and probably one of the better sinners out there that you can imagine, you know. So with that lifestyle behind me, and I mean, pretty horrendous, actually. I mean, there's for many years I walked away from the Lord, even though I knew about him and kind of was churched from a kid. Still, the walking away from the Lord, when you come from a carnal church in the first place, you're talking about apostasy for apostate Christianity. You don't really have the idea of understanding about how shall we die. You don't understand about taking up your cross. You hear about these things, but you really don't have a concept of what that means. And because of that, you have a tendency to want to take up and stand and fight for yourself. You know, you want to protect yourself, protect your rights. You want to do whatever it takes to not have somebody overwhelm you, overcome you. And so because of that, and not understanding that, you know, the Lord puts this world out there to crucify you so you can come in his son's image to get rid of the flesh, you're fighting to think that, no, I can't let somebody endanger me, because you're thinking, I have to protect myself. I have to protect those I love. And I remember even being in a church for a little bit, and it was, you know, supposed to have been like a church where you learned everything, because we did verse by verse Bible study through the whole through each book of the Bible. We'll go through a whole book and you're going verse by verse, line by line, trying to understand everything. And even then, the pastor, we were talking about back then, because I was kind of friends with him, that, you know, we've seen the violence coming on erupting in the churches, and we talked about carrying our handguns to church, you know, just in case something would happen. You know, we would protect the sheep, so to speak, be prepared for those things. So, and in the process of that, I felt uncomfortable with my ability to protect myself. So I went out and I became a black belt in Taekwondo. So I know how to kill people very well with my hands and hurt people with my hands and my feet. I did all those things so I could take care of myself if I had to, but I didn't feel like that was enough. So if somebody's out of my range in order to grab or take him out, I thought, well, maybe I'll get a handgun too. So I got my handgun and I got hollow points and I had 500 rounds and I had my a carrying case I could put in the back of my, you know, my trousers, and it was concealed. You couldn't tell I had it because it was just large enough where it would take somebody out, but not so big that you knew I had a gun. I was very well concealed. So I had all those things, but I never really carried it with me out of the house, but I had it. I was ready. I was prepared if I needed it. So I had that for many years, but inside of me, I just couldn't bring myself to carrying it. And I never got a CCW, could never go all the way out, get that, because there's something inside me just made me feel like there's not something really right about this, but I had it on the shelf. I just had it over there just in case. But when I finally came to know the Lord, and before that, I did eventually get rid of my gun. I just sold it to a gunsmith, get rid of all my ammo. Because how can you save somebody if you're killing them? How can you shoot somebody and he's dead? Well, now you're going to preach the gospel to the guy. It's not going to work. So the point is that Christianity out there don't know Jesus the way we know Jesus. They don't know the gospel the way we know the gospel. And they don't have faith in God for his protection. They don't believe that God is going to maybe test them in a trial, but not necessarily let them die. Now, no, there will be death. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. He's going to bring judgment on the apostates, on the ones that are not being obedient to his word. That's going to happen, you know. But if we're running with Christ and being obedient to his word and trying to, you know, listen to every little thing he has to say to us and seek him constantly on a daily basis, and we're trying to listen and hear what he has to tell us, and constantly being in there and not really being happy, always pushing forward, looking for the Lord in our life, you know, that's what he desires, and that's what he wants. And he's going to work out of us what he needs to work out of us, and we're going to become in the image of Jesus. And we don't, the grace and all that stuff is going to becoming part of us. And if you feel like you're missing out and you don't have what you need that you, to be that brother, you need to be for that brother, well, God's going to work that in you. He's going to do that for you. We cannot do it for ourselves. He's going to do it for us. We got to trust and have faith for that, because only he can walk that walk in us. We can't walk that walk, but he can walk it in us and do it for us if we believe him for those things. So my life had to be turned around that way. I had to find out that I had to be submitted and obedient and trusting of the Lord and put my faith in him for all these things to happen before I could give up all my worldly stuff and realize, you know, that's not going to save me. As much as I might be able to protect myself with my hands and my feet and have a gun, that's still not going to save me. Only the Lord can save me. And I had to learn to give up all that carnal stuff. And I wasn't making me happy, but I had it in order to find out the truth, that to walk in Christ and renew myself in him, my life in him, and put self down so I can live for Jesus and learn how to walk with Jesus. That was my new life in Christ. Then life became something more than what I needed to protect. At that point, it was, I have that eternal life. I have that life in Christ. What am I trying to protect from losing? I didn't lose anything anymore. I'm walking in newness of life. What can I lose? You can't lose anything when you have that. So I just wanted to share that real quick about my life a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, Stephen, go ahead.
I've got a couple of testimonies about how God protected me using his word and not using any kind of weapons or tools. Back in the early 1990s, I was part of Operation Rescue, which is a group that goes and blocks the doors to abortion clinics to keep the pregnant women from getting to the doctors and the doctors getting to the women and killing the children. And there was a clinic that we had gone to in New York City that we were informed that the owners had a couple of German Shepherd attack dogs, and they were going to release those dogs on us as soon as we came on their property to, you know, shy us away from the door. And so I don't really like dogs too much, but I knew enough about God's word that we had authority over animals. And so they were looking for a few people to volunteer to go kind of in the front of the group to deal with the dogs. And so I kind of got roped into that. And so we got real close to this clinic, and they sent these German Shepherds after us. And so I spoke to the German Shepherd and said, "Sit in the name of Jesus." And the dog just sat down right in front of me. You know, the owner was sending the dog after me, and I told it to sit, and everybody got to the door, and we were able to block the door and, you know, keep the women away until they basically decided to leave. They kept the clinic closed. And so that was showing how God had given us authority over animals. And then later that same day, I had some car problems. We drove out to New York City and, you know, from where we were. And I had to take my car to a place to get it fixed. And so me and another guy were going to find this garage to get it fixed at. And we stopped to get some directions from some people in New York City. And it turns out the two guys that we stopped to ask for directions wound up mugging us. So they pulled the gun out on us, and they actually pointed at the guy that was with me. And I knew we had authority over that too, over those spirits. And so I turned to the guy and I said, you can't shoot in the name of Jesus, put that gun down. You can't shoot me. I'm anointed by God. And the guy took his gun and he put it down, and we were able to share the gospel with him and then get on our way a little bit later. But we didn't have a gun or anything like that. The other guy that was with me was kind of like, well, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I could just see myself, you know, telling your wife that, you know, what happened, and, you know, I got shot and all that. So at any rate, that didn't turn out that way. God protected me and protected both of us. And it was clearly through his authority. So there's two examples in my life where I know that, that God protected me without having to use a gun or a weapon. So, you know, a little bit later, somebody had pointed out to me the scripture that we're, you guys were talking about tonight. I was talking to my daughter earlier on the phone, so I missed most of the call tonight. So you might have covered some of this already, but that that scripture that talks about Jesus going out to buy a sword, they quote that verse standalone, but if you just kind of look at the context, I mean, the next verse tells you that so Jesus would be numbered among the transgressors, which would be Peter for having this, using the, that weapon. And in the a couple verses before it, Jesus warns Peter that he's going to be tried and sifted, and then he tells him to make sure you have a sword so that you can be really tried and sifted and really you can show. And then a few verses later, Jesus is getting arrested, and Peter pulls out that sword that Jesus wanted to make sure he had to see what to show so Peter could see what he would actually do, and you know, cut the guy's ear off and everything. But then Jesus rebuked them for that. So when you put all that in context, Jesus was just setting Peter up. I think Jesus was just setting Peter up to get tried. And Peter saw his own failure because he repented over it a little bit later in that chapter. So I don't think that you can take that verse and say that we're supposed to go, you know, pack a gun or anything like that. That doesn't seem... In context, it doesn't seem to fit at all with the passage there. That's all I had.
Well, not only that, there's a lot of verses before and after it that tells you not to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's verses that tell us to live by the sword, die by the sword. And, you know, there's a number of places in the Bible. You know, how can you love somebody and put a bullet hole through their head at the same time? Nothing says I love you like a, you know, a shotgun shell through their head. I mean, no, not really, you know.
Man, I love you. Pew. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you see how divided this issue is sometimes and how people just, it almost like fills their heart with joy to think that God would let them have guns and take people out. And I believe it's just like every other idol that God gives them over to it. He even lets the word be placed in such a way that if they want to take off and run down an idolic rabbit trail with it, they can turn it in just like pretty much any foundational belief. There's another side to the truth usually that will spend their whole life backing up their system. And this is just another form of idolatry of self. It's probably the most primal because it's self-defense. And God wants self to remain on the cross and be dead, obviously. But you look at, I mean, how can people overlook that all of the disciples, all of the apostles went to their death and were tortured, crucified upside down, you name it. They all embraced martyrdom. And the first century and the early church embraced martyrdom. You don't see any instances, you know, you have Christian soldiers, Roman soldiers that found a way not to fight. You know, you don't, it's hundreds of years into Christianity before you hear of people taking up this issue. And then you have the corruption of the Crusades or whatever you want to talk about, where everybody gets more wind puffed up into their sails. And, you know, you got to choose this day who you will serve. You got to either know God or play this exterior game of flesh and protecting and loving our life and protecting all these precious things in the world, like people who, you know, they're not going to break into my store or touch my car or whatever. So, you know, you can get just as emotional with righteous indignation on this side of the issue. And, you know, I see that's where a lot of us in the UVM probably do get fired up because it's such a battle of flesh versus spirit. And you could beat people over the head with the hammer of truth, but if they have that idol, what is it going to take for them to obey God and take the full measure of all the scriptures and let it plow their heart till that seed can take root? So, Father, I just ask you to help us to keep plowing. Help us to not grow weary in well-doing, Lord. Help us to understand that we've all been in a place of blindness. And, Father, when we see someone blind to these issues, help us to be able to minister wisely to them, Father. And, Father, I just thank you for the truth that's come through this ministry. It's a rare bird in the body of Christ. And even these other pacifist sects of Christianity that they still store up like you've never seen. And they, you know, there's many errors in the world today with your body. But, Lord, you're coming for a body that's going to be a house that's swept clean, and a spotless and blemishless bride. And Father, I thank you for your truth that's going to shine forth. And for all of these people here today, that their words are going out on the internet and there are people picking this message up. And Father, I'm turning it loose back to Michael to finish this up, but I felt like I wanted to get in there. Love y'all.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, George. That's a good one. I hope it's quick, Will. I'm going to let you go ahead, brother.
Nah, I'll bring it up next time. No worries. Blessings to you.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for opening up this verse to us. And it looks like we've peeled it a couple, two or three different ways, and that's fine. And, Lord, they're all right. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us all a good night's sleep tonight. And the people that have are going to listen to this will be blessed mightily with it, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that our weapon is God. Our weapon is Jesus Christ. Our weapon is the blood of Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, folks. Let me get everybody unmuted here.
I sure was blessed being on this meeting today. I was blessed. Thank you.